It's a brief word of prayer with you, God's word this morning. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank thee that we now can continue before thee to hear thy word this morning. We thank thee that children have gone out to hear thy precious word today. I pray that thou instruct them through, Lord, thine inspired word. And may they grow up, Lord, to know thee, to be born again, and to desire that sincere milk of thy word, and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be gracious to the young ones this morning. And continue with us now here, Lord, we pray. And bless us, Father, as we hear thine inspired word. We pray, Father, that it may educate the mind. Father, we pray that it might move our hearts and our wills. We pray, Heavenly Father, these things might move us concerning thy Son, Jesus Christ, and all that he's done for all of his people. And we ask these things in his name and for his sake. Amen.
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 Well, dear friends, we come this morning to a very familiar chapter of God's word, and perhaps to you a very familiar verse of it. I want us to turn together to our text, which is Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, the sixth verse of the 53rd chapter of the book of the prophecy of Isaiah. We have the prophet Isaiah writing here, not only on behalf of himself, as he's inspired to do so by the Holy Spirit, but it appears that he's speaking on the behalf of many others too, as we'll see a little bit later on. It is a text, just before I read it to you, it's a text that is partly cited and quoted by the Apostle Peter at the end of the second chapter of his first epistle. That's why I read that chapter to you earlier on this morning. But we're looking at the original. We're looking at this verse here in Isaiah. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, it's a reference to Christ, it's a reference to Messiah, it's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, or to the Lord's servant, as he's called towards the end of the previous chapter. So the Lord Jesus Christ laid on him, so the Father laid on the Son, the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So, dear friends, this morning I propose for a while that we look together at just this one verse in Isaiah chapter 53, the sixth verse of this chapter. We find the prophet here, as he is led to do so by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, the God's word that we have before us. We find him here writing about going astray. That's the theme here. That's the other themes that come out in this chapter, but it seems to me the theme or the subject of this verse is that of going astray. People going astray. Isaiah's included himself here. As we see in a little while, he's also including a whole host of others too, going astray. All we like sheep. What have we done, he says? Well, we've done this. We have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. It's another way of putting it there. And the Lord hath laid on him, on Christ, on the Messiah, on the Lord Jesus Christ, on his Son, on the Lord's servant, the iniquity of us all. This is all about going astray. And Isaiah here mentions this kind of this description of going astray here. He means about our going astray, or people going astray, in a spiritual sense. They're spiritually erring or wandering from the Lord. Context of this verse, in the context of this passage, erring from the Lord, erring from God, and erring from his way and the way of his precepts, and perishing as the result of that. That's how serious this is, this going astray is. It's not like, you know, kind of an animal going astray and perhaps it dying, that's bad enough. Or somebody getting lost and they get into some trouble. But this spiritual going astray, erring or wandering from God and his way and from his laws and from his precepts and sinning against him, leads to people perishing, not only temporally in a way, people dying and ending up physically dying, and they're becoming spiritually dead before God, but ultimately and eternally dying in hell, going to hell and perishing eternally and receiving everlasting destruction from God. That is what this going astray is all about. It's very, as you can see, it is spiritual straying, and it is very serious indeed. It leads to everlasting destruction from the presence of God. So when you read that there, going astray, that's what it means. Going astray from God and going astray from his way, will and word for his created people. It's a phrase that Ezekiel picks up, or rather the Lord in Ezekiel picks up in chapter 14, first of all, and verse 11 of that prophecy. He's used in the same kind of way here, straying in a spiritual sense, straying from God. And he's speaking here about the children of Israel, the house of Israel, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, God says, the Lord says, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they might be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. So Ezekiel there, the prophet Ezekiel, and also the Lord there, is using that expression or that word going astray the same kind of way there. And he also does the same in the 44th chapter of his prophecy and verses 10 and 15. And about in the same kind of way about the children of Israel. The Levites that have gone away far from me. When Israel went astray, which went astray from me after their idols, going away from God, going after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. And verse 15, but the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me, went astray from God, they shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord. Going astray. The theme of this verse, and also the theme of many verses in Scripture, the theme of those verses there in the book of the prophecy of Ezekiel. You know, my dear friends, because of who's gone astray, these things are not only relevant to scriptural times, to Isaiah and to his people, to Ezekiel and the children of Israel then. My dear friends, this is very relevant to today. This is very relevant to you and to me, because we are here spoken of and described here in this verse. We ourselves have gone astray. Have you, my dear friend? I'm going to answer this very clearly for you a little bit later on and show you that we have. Have you gone astray? Have you erred? Are you lost in this world? Lost from God? Far away from God? Not a people near to him, like his people, like his believing people, but a people who is far off from him. Have you erred? Have you wandered from the Lord, gone astray even from your mother's womb, as Scripture says? Gone away from him, gone away from his way, and you are perishing in this world and in danger of perishing eternally, and will perish as the result of this, unless you hear the gospel of God, the good news of God, and truly and evangelically repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe what God has done in order to rescue you from perishing and to bring you back from himself. My dear friend, be truthful this morning. Be honest in your heart to yourself. Be honest before God. Are you a sinner? Are you somebody who's, even from birth, and because of original sin, the sin of our parents, you've gone astray from God, even from your mother's womb, and ever since then, and this morning, you are far away from God. Are you somebody straight from him, from your Creator and from your Maker. What does Isaiah here tell us about going astray? Well, he tells us, I see, at least four things here. The first thing is this. He shares with us and he opens to us those who have gone astray. And notice the way in which he writes here. There's no uncertainty about this. It is absolutely sure and certain that all these people have gone astray. They have turned to their own way. And the Lord, for certain people, has laid upon his Son the iniquity of their iniquity. But it's all about certainties here. Who have indeed gone astray. In verse 6 here. Secondly, the way in which or how they have gone astray. He illustrates it. He gives us here a figure or a metaphor, a simile, in order we might understand the manner in which we have gone astray as his creatures. Thirdly, what this has led to, where people have ended up because of this, because of their disobedience against God and because of their rebellion. Where have they ended up? Where have they gone astray to, from and to? And then fourthly, we'll finish later on with this. He not only gives a comparison of what we're like, he also at the end here gives a contrast of what God has done in order that we might be turned back to him and to God's own way. Brought back to him, reconciled to him, have peace with him, and be able to walk with him all the days of our lives until we dwell in God's house in his heaven forever. Let's deal with the first of these. If Isaiah writing here about the people, those people, there are many of them who have indeed gone astray. And you notice here in this verse, he gives them two, there are two descriptions of these people. First of all, he describes them as all we, all of us. And secondly, he describes them as being everyone, every single person. So he describes these people in two different ways. So first of all, in terms of all of us, so he describes them, or he describes us corporately, generally, or universally. This is everybody. But you've got to be careful here, haven't you? Especially in relation to the end of this verse. As you try and understand and interpret what all of these people mean here, it can mean one of two things. Either it is referring, he's referring here to all of humanity after the fall, all of mankind, the whole of the human race, whether they be Jews like Isaiah or Gentiles. Accepting nobody, including absolutely everybody. Nobody excluded here. Everybody without exception. And as I say, due to the fall. So it could be everybody since the fall, barring, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. It also could mean here, all believers. Every single believer who ever believes, truly believes, savingly believes on the Christ. Again, whether they be Jews or Gentiles, whether they be amongst the fold of the Jews or the fold of the Gentiles, again, without exception, and once again, due to the fall of man, recorded in Genesis chapter 3. So that all we, all of us, you might have to be careful about it. Both of those statements are true. It's indeed the case that everybody has gone astray from God. But possibly here Isaiah is referring to the people of God, those for whom Christ took their sin upon the cross and paid the penalty of it and made an atonement for it when he died there upon Calvary's tree. But bear in mind the end of this verse. He laid on him the iniquity of us all. But be careful, does that mean absolutely everybody? Well, if you believe in a limited atonement, it means the people of God only. So is everybody, all we, in that sense. But notice he also describes it in a second way here, in terms of everyone. Everyone, body, has turned to their, in a willful way, they've turned to their own way. So here, secondly, it is everybody in terms of every individual, every particular person, every specific person amongst those that he's describing here. Either everybody of the human race, all of mankind, every person in the human race since the fall, whether Jew or Gentile, or every single believer, again, whether Israelite or non-Israelite, without exception. Every single person. You see what Isaiah is doing here. He wants everybody to be included. For this description not only to be of everybody or all believers, but of every single and particular person, every single particular believer that have gone astray. And if you look at Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 18, it's an interesting verse. And he also adopts this same kind of language, dealing with everybody, but then every single person. He says it about the kings of the nations. In general, all the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory. But notice that he comes to particulars. Everyone, every single one of them, in his or in their own house. So he's speaking of them generally, but speaking of them particularly, every single one. And then in Jonah's, in the minor prophecy of Jonah chapter 3 and verse 8, we read these words. Actually, it's the words of the king of Nineveh, and he does the same kind of thing. But let men and beast, this was so that Nineveh might be saved after the prophesying of Jonah to them. So speaking about them generally then, let men and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God, yea, let them turn everyone in particular from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. So to making sure that nobody's excluded here. Let's all do it, but every particular person needs to do it. You see, my dear friend, this morning there is no hiding place, is there? There's no hiding place before God. Whoever you are here this morning, you can say, You have gone astray. Whoever you look at this, if I asked you, my dear friend, have you gone spiritually astray from God? You have to put your hand up. You have to answer in the affirmative. You have to say, yes, I have. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Scripture says. Every single person. And not only everybody en masse, but every single individual. You are guilty. Your hand is red. You have disobeyed God. You've broken his commandments. You've rebelled against him. You've gone astray from him and turned to your own way. You are guilty. And you're under God's condemnation. You're under his curse. You're in danger of everlasting destruction. And as you, my dear friend, repent and believe the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So really, Isaiah is pinning people down here. God is pinning people down here and showing that everyone has gone away from him. As a result of sin and the fall, by our first parents, that original sin of theirs, it's been passed on, it's been inherited. It's their legacy, their terrible legacy to the whole of humanity. And as a result of that, we've been born in this way. We go astray from God from our birth, and we are far away from him. This involves you, my dear friend. It also involves me. We are spiritual strayers away from God. We are lost, lost in this world, without God, without Christ, and without hope until God has mercy upon us, destined to destruction unless the Lord saves our souls. Well, secondly, he not only says about who has gone astray, but he gives a figure here, an illustration, a comparison, if you like, a metaphor, a simile, to show how it is that either the whole of humanity, including that God's people, how they've gone astray. And he says they've gone astray like sheep. And he means here, of course, that they've gone astray like sheep that are apt, aren't they? Sheep aren't known for their cleverness. Sheep aren't known for their intelligence. And the whole of humanity, as a result of the fall, aren't known for their spiritual intelligence and their knowledge. Just like sheep, Silly sheep, we've gone astray. Sheep that are apt or prone to go astray from their shepherd and from the flock that they're in, or from the fold that they're in, or the path that they're going in, and perish as a result. Isaiah says that is what the whole of humanity is like, and that is what I was like, and that is what all of God's people are like before they were saved. Just like stupid, silly sheep. Does that offend you, my dear friend, this morning? By saying that, by God here, it's not so much me, and it's not even so much God's servant here, the prophet Isaiah. God is likening you to an animal, to a beast, to a brute beast, to a sheep. You might think that you're somebody who's very intelligent and very gifted and very talented, but in the sight of God, you're just like this. You're just like a silly sheep. Foolish, a stupid sheep that's gone astray from him spiritually, gone far away from him, erred from him, wandered far away from him in your own paths. Just like a sheep that's gone from its flock, gone from its shepherd, gone from its fold and the path in which it's in, and is in danger of perishing. Again, my dear friend, be honest. And look at your life. Take a little look back, my dear friends, into your past history, into your past experience. Isn't this true? You're not somebody, even though you might be somebody who's been brought up in a Christian home and gone to a Christian church, if you were to really examine your heart and your motives and the things that you do, why you do them, you'd not say, well, I'm just like this, a sheep that's gone astray from its shepherd and from its fold, from its flock, and from the path in which it should tread. I am just like that. And we're all like that. We're all in the same boat, aren't we? We're all sinners, lost sinners, in the sight of God. And this is how, so very frequently in Scripture, God's people were described. Like in Numbers chapter 27, verse 17, my friends, Moses' words here, he says this. It's referring to a man that might go out before God's people, the congregation of the children of Israel, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, which might bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. That's what Moses wanted for God's people. They might not be straying sheep, and God might set a leader over them, and God over them ultimately. My dear friends, as far as we're concerned before God, we are all, as by nature, without grace, we are all sheep without a spiritual shepherd, without a spiritual guide, without a spiritual protector, without a spiritual provider, until we turn and come and believe in God and believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. And in the same way, in 1 Kings 23, 22 and verse 17, the prophet Micaiah says to one of the kings, he prophesies, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills like sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the psalmist in Psalm 44 and verse 11 wrote these words, thou hast given us, referring to his people, like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. God's people very often are described in this way in Scripture, those who are scattered and those who have gone astray without any leader, without any guide, without any spiritual shepherd. My dear friend, again, will you not this morning kind of look into your heart as God's word is held up before you like a mirror, and as God, as the kind of question, the challenge comes to you, have you gone astray like this? Can you not say you have before him? Can you not confess this? We're going to be looking, God willing, this evening at Psalm 119 and verse 176 and the psalmist's confession. And my dear friend, if you want to be converted, if you want to become a Christian, if you want to be saved, my dear friend, God needs to convict you of your sin, first of all, and then convert you, grant you repentance and faith in him. You've got to come onto your knees, you've got to pray before him, you've got to confess your sin, you've got to say, yes, Lord,
I am a sinner before you. Your word is true. You've got to justify God. You've got to vindicate God and say, Lord, you are just. You are righteous. You are holy. What you say is right and true concerning me. It's a true verdict. It's a true sentence. It's a true judgment. What you say is right concerning me. I'm like a sheep that have gone astray from you. My dear friend, until you own up to these things and tell the truth before God and honest before God, well, God is very gracious. Whereas there's no hope until he brings you to such a position. When you begin to have a right view of yourself and of your relationship or lack of relationship with God, that you're not right with God. Not at least as yet, but you're far from him, strained far away from him. Well, the third thing here is this. Not only a strain away from, but where's mankind? And the people of God before they were converted, where they strayed to? And Isaiah's description is this. That all have turned so foolishly to their own way. What he means here is this, of course, that people have turned from God, and his wise way for them, the way of his precepts, and they've turned to their own iniquitous, sinful, transgressing way, to their own course, to their own path of life. And my dear friends, the arrogance of man in this and his disobedience. God said to Adam and Eve, do this, live like this. Did they do that? No, they didn't. They went their own way. They went the way of the world, as we say. They went the way of Satan and the devil. And people have been doing this ever since. Man sets himself up in arrogance against God. He thinks he knows the way to live. He thinks he knows the way to go. And he says to God, well, I'm not going to believe in you. I'm not going to believe in your word. I'm not going to believe in your way and your way of happiness, your path of life. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to be the captain of my own soul and the captain of my own salvation. And is it any wonder, my dear friends, man ends up in total misery and unhappiness, and the world ends up as it is, because man, as a result of sin and the fall by nature, is so proud and arrogant and sinful. It just ends up in total chaos. Men have turned from the Lord and from his way, the way of his precepts. They turn to their own iniquitous, sinful, and transgressing way, course and path of life. Is it any wonder, therefore, that this leads to unhappiness? And it also leads to punishment, my dear friends. It leads to guilt and to punishment. God's punishment for sin is everlasting, it's eternal. It's eternal torment, eternal woe in hell. As Scripture teaches, both in the Old and New Testament, and it's even the teaching, my dear friend, of the Lord Jesus Christ and of all of the New Testament apostles. Isaiah 55, verses 7 to 9 is very pertinent here. Let the wicked forsake his way. That's the way of man, is a wicked way. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. That's the answer. Let him return to the Lord, and God will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Is that true too, my dear friends? Is this the word of truth to you this morning? Have you turned from God and his way to your own arrogant way? You set your own philosophy up in the face of theology, in the face of revelation. So this is the way I'm going to live my life. I'm going to please myself. I'm going to live a selfish life, self-centered life. This is the way that I'm going to go. And I'm not going to have anything to do with God. I'm not going to have anything to do with his word, anything to do with God's people. I am going to be my own guide through life. My dear friend, that's just a recipe for total and eternal death and destruction and disaster. But my dear friend, look finally here. And what God has done in his great grace. My dear friend, in spite of all of this, in spite of what man is like, what you and I are like, look at what God has done in order that we may be turned back to him, and we might be turned, and our footsteps and our paths might be turned into his way. Here's the great contrast here. God gives a great contrast here. Man is like this, fallen man, fallen humanity, sinful man. And yet, God is so good. God is so kind. God is so loving and gracious and merciful. What has he done in order that you might come back from the dark paths of sin? Well, God has done this. He's laid on him the iniquity of us all, so that our sin might be forgiven, so that we might have peace with God and come back to God, because no coming back to God without sin being dealt with. But if God has dealt with sin and we believe in this way, we can come back to God and be turned into his way, that narrow way which leads to everlasting life. So the Lord, Jehovah, as referring to God the Father, the first person of the Godhead of the Holy Trinity, what has he done in order to provide a way of salvation for you and for me? In spite of all that we are, in spite of what we've been like when we came into this world and all that we've ever been, he has even laid, I'll come back to that in a moment, on his own Son, on his Christ, on the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, his servant, the servant of the Lord. Be careful. Christ didn't become a sinner, but on the cross, the Father laid on him the guilt or the penalty or the punishment of the iniquity of us all. All our perversity, all our perverseness, all our sin, all our transgression, all our iniquity, as the hymnist says, on him were laid. And God punished them in him. Our surety and our substitute, that we turn and believe on him, we might be pardoned of all our sin. And he did this. Who did he do it for? Well, who's that? Us all. Well, all his people, whether Jew or Gentile, all that he was to save from every age and from every place. God did this. God did this. Even to his own Son. He smote his Son. He struck his Son. He punished him in your place and in my place, in order that we might be forgiven of all our iniquity. It's an interesting expression, this, the Lord laid on him. There are other renderings of this. It's sometimes rendered like this: that they were made, our iniquity were made to violently fall upon him there upon the cross, to strike him, as those attacked or rushed upon him that came with swords and staves to take him away in the Garden of Gethsemane. Or he's made our iniquity to light upon him there upon the cross, place them upon him and punish them in our place. That he hath made or caused the iniquities of us all to meet on him, to meet on his Son on the cross, as all the rivers meet in the sea. Well, finally, they were made to, there are other renderings of that. Is it wonderful what God has done in order to save you? You can't save yourself. He's provided a way of salvation. He's provided a Saviour, even in his Son, and on the cross, he laid on his Son the sins of his people, punished them in our place, so that you might not be punished as a result of them. You might be forgiven and pardoned completely. And that's why we have those other verses in Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 11. The Lord Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions on the cross. Was he wounded for your transgressions? Was he bruised for your iniquities? Was the chastisement of your peace on him? With Christ's stripes, with all his sufferings upon the cross, have you been healed? He shall sear the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall carry their iniquities. He become their sin bearer.
and the one who will be punished in their place, that they might go free. Well, my dear friend, has the Lord laid upon his servant, on Christ, your iniquity? So I'll have to say, my dear friend, this morning, well, I believe he did that for other people, and all these other people, all other people who repent and believe in Christ. You need to know that it was for you that he died and suffered there. Do you believe that he has done this? This is the gospel. This is the good news. You don't have to perish, my dear friend, like a lost sheep. God has provided a way of salvation. And if you believe it, you will be found by him. You will be saved. So, my dear friend, going astray here from God, it's universal. Everybody. It's also individual. It's you. It can be given in a metaphor. We go away like sheep from God. It's willful. We turn to our own way. But praise God. To the glory of his name, it is something, it is even something that he is ready and willing to forgive. He can't just forgive. He has to deal with him, but he has dealt with it. So this is something that is absolvable, pardonable. It's a situation that can be redeemed if this morning you repent, you turn, and you believe this good news. This simple good news. What God has done for you, even you a sinner, in order to bring you back to himself, to reconcile you to himself. Have you done this, my dear friend? Have you turned to him? And have you trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I hope, I dearly hope you have, my dear friend, because either Christ was punished in your place, or you'll be punished for your sin. What will it be, my dear friend? What will it be?